Sabrina is the founder of London-based women's wear brand Sabilu Knit, who focus on creating beautiful figure-hugging pieces to complement a woman's body. Sabrina's passion for knitting started in school, whilst knitting her DT classes, inspiring her to study fashion textiles at London College of Fashion, then furthering her education at Royal College of Art before leaving early to pursue her business. What I loved about this conversation was the honesty Sabrina gave us about how challenging it can be to run a business, given her own personal examples of not selling products at her pop-up store. But what I admire more is her commitment to succeed doing what she loves, which is paying off as she built her own fashion studio from the ground up. As always, I hope you enjoy the podcast and let us know how you found it by leaving us a review.
Welcome to the Designer to Designer podcast show. This is a safe space created for aspiring and startup fashion designers entrepreneurs. Through this podcast show, I sit down with some of your favorite independent designers and give you exclusive behind-the-scenes access to their lives and brands. I aim to make sure you get to know the designers for who they are and finally engage with relatable stories. We touch on everything from mindset to finances to their childhoods and their biggest, wildest fashion dreams. This podcast is hosted by yours truly, Rebecca Tembo, founder of a self-titled women's wear label and the Entry platform which produces this show. Now sit tight, enjoy the ride, and get ready to be blown away by today's episode. Welcome to the podcast, Sabrina. Do you mind introducing yourself and telling us just a little bit about you?
Yeah, so my name is Sabrina and I'm a knitwear designer from London. I have a brand called Sabilu Knit, so which is where we make to order handmade knitted clothing, which is fitted silhouettes, figure hugging knitwear that accentuates the figure, female form.
So let's take it right back to the beginning when you first discovered your passion for knitwear. What's that one memorable moment that really stands out for you?
So the first time I started knitting was in DT classes in primary school. And I made the most awful knitted scarf with, I think it was like 3/4 knitting needles. And I just fell in love with it, and I fell in love with the process because I just felt so at ease and calm when I was knitting. And from there, I just fell in love with the craft, and I ended up making my own clothing, like as and when I wanted to go out, instead of shopping or going out to the shops to buy what I wanted to wear, I'd just make it and then go out in my new handmade like knitted tops, like crop tops and stuff to like carnival and like events that I go to with my friends and family.
How long does it take to make like a crop top, for example?
So with knitting needles, it can take up to, I'd say about 16 hours. Yeah, to make a knitted crop top with knitting needles, depending on what thickness you're using. But with a knitting machine, because obviously I studied knitwear, it could really take about 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
Okay, that's good. Because 16, I was thinking, wow, then how many, if you do like an 8 hour day of work, then it'll take 2 days to make one top.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. But I guess there's some people that would appreciate just doing it by hand. So
it's fun. I feel like when you're doing it quite leisurely, organically, it's really fun. Mm. And you do it whilst watching TV or whilst on the train. Like, you don't have to just sit there and knit. Like, you can actually do other things whilst doing the craft.
Yeah. So you went on to study fashion textiles at UAL. Which college did you go to at UAL?
I went to London College of Fashion.
Okay, perfect. So how was your experience studying there? Do you feel like it was relevant with what you're doing now?
So initially when I first started, it wasn't the best because the first couple of years I found it quite difficult to find my feet. I was just getting used to the course. But then the final year is when I really started to come into my own, but not in terms of fashion. I was in a very experimental textiles designer, and I wanted to create pieces that made people feel something, and that's when I found my unique style. So I wanted to create things that were like extraordinary. I then went on to study textiles at RCA, Royal College of Art, with a scholarship. However, it didn't align with my business because it was just so time consuming. It required a lot of commitment and studio time. Mm. And so did my business. So it was just too much to juggle at once. So I ended up withdrawing from the course in 2020, actually, just after the pandemic, and just fully focused on my business from there.
Was there any fear with that decision? Obviously, you already started your business, but, you know, it's like, okay, education, this might help me. And it's a scholarship, so maybe even makes you feel like, oh, I really should do it because, you know, I have this opportunity that some people wouldn't get. But at the same time, you're like, you know, I want to pursue my business. I don't want to give that up, even if it's temporary.
It was a huge fear because I had already paid half of the fees for the course. Obviously, I got the scholarship as well, which I felt really guilty for because it's like a huge slap in the face for leaving the course. But yeah, it was really scary because at the beginning, my business wasn't doing so well at the beginning. And I did have that fear of it not working out. So it was a huge risk to take, but my heart just wasn't in the course. My heart was with my business, and I found a lot of joy and happiness in doing what I was doing, and I knew that was more important than forcing myself to continue a course that just wasn't for me.
No, that makes complete sense, and it's fair, because then you're just wasting your time and everybody else's time.
I just thought of it as the money that I could be using for the course I could put towards the business.
Exactly. I'm sort of in the same, well, I kind of had the same experience. I didn't go to university, but I studied fashion at the Fashion Retail Academy. So I studied fashion design level 3 diploma, but I actually left in like the final year just before we're meant to finish. But I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I like the school and I'd actually recommend people go there. But for me, I just feel like you can learn all of this stuff, you know, and fashion school really focuses on more the creativity side. And a lot of people leave and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be a fashion designer. I'm going to have this big brand and all that stuff. And they do start their brands and then they close after like 2 years, or they're literally like homeless because they don't teach anything about the business side of things, unfortunately. And it's crazy because I'm like, you know, all of these guys want to start their own brands. How can you not teach them about it? But yeah, like I just left and I was like, you know what, you just have to have faith, because I wasn't even popping or anything. So it was like, why do I feel like I'm going to be okay? But when you know, I guess. Is fashion school something you would recommend for someone that wants to have a fashion brand, or even if it's just specifically knitwear? Or is there anything else that you would recommend?
Personally, in my opinion, because I went to fashion school, but I didn't necessarily study fashion. I studied textiles, so the craft that I learned I then applied to my business. But in terms of like running and maintaining a business, all of that I learned through just development and just like experience through trial and error. I did that all on my own, really.
Yeah.
And I feel like just making connections with people within the industry as well. So like if you reach out to certain people like bloggers or other fashion designers in the industry, photographers, like just making connections with people like that, stylists, makeup artists, you then learn and make more connections, and then that allows you to get your name out there for people to spread the word about you and your brand and what you're doing. I think that's the best way, really. I don't feel like fashion school really encourages you to start your own business or start your own brand. Mm. For me at my university, I was encouraged to work for a specific brand or apply for a job for a specific brand. And I actually did an internship with a brand, and for me, that just made it very clear that I did not want to work for someone. If I was going to be in the fashion industry, I wanted to work for myself. Mm. So yeah, I feel like it's just something that you have to learn yourself, as the journey goes along.
So you actually started making handmade knitted chokers for your friends and family in 2016, and you're working on your business on and off until you finally launched in 2019. I'd love to know what those initial days looked like from getting your first orders and getting used to basically just running your business.
Yeah, so when I first started selling chokers, I actually had no expectations. I just loved making everything, and selling my chokers was a bonus for me. It became a bit of an addiction, and I knew that this is, you know, what I wanted and needed to do, because it just brought me so much joy. I didn't want to rush my first collection, so I took time perfecting the designs. They weren't 100% perfect, but I knew that I needed to start somewhere, and eventually over time I would be able to improve the quality of my pieces and even my skill as a designer. So I used to wear some of my designs at my pop-up stores while selling chokers, and would get a lot of positive feedback from people asking me to sell the tops. So when I eventually did, I hoped and thought I would receive like a huge influx of orders due to the amount of people who reached out saying that they would purchase as soon as I launch. And I even wrote their names down so that I remembered what they wanted and their sizes, so that I was prepared and ready. But it just never happened. The first few months, I barely received any sales, and this really made me question my designs. It really made me question my pricing, and it made me question whether this path was for me. I openly say this because I feel like this whole process has just been a journey, and not everything will happen as you expect it to. And eventually you will get the sale. You just have to remain positive, keep the faith, and just keep working. But yeah, things just won't happen overnight. It just doesn't work like that. So you just have to remain positive.
And I appreciate you telling me that story, because I feel like now on social media, it's like when you launch, you must sell out within a day, within a week, so that you can tweet about it and post it on LinkedIn. And, you know, you should take pictures with all the boxes and be like, thank you, God. And, you know, and it's just, it's so mad. Like, because even I feel like I'm someone that's like, I love self-development and everything. And I thought I had gotten to the point where I could appreciate long-term gratification over short-term. But I realized that because of all the stuff I was seeing, if I didn't sell out, I was like, what the hell is going on, you know? And it's just not how it's always going to be. And not selling out doesn't mean you failed, and it doesn't dictate your future either. Like, that's just an event, and that happened because it happened, and you were meant to grow. You're meant to be excited eventually, like, be upset by all means, but you're meant to be excited after and look at it as a challenge, you know, and you're meant to learn from it, because then you'll be like, okay, my launch didn't go as great. What can I do next time? And people will always tell me that, yeah, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that. You can't rely on it. My dad always says to me, until the money's in your account, it's not done.
It's crazy, because I'm even guilty of that. I initially started posting, you know, a really positive outlook on running a business, but it's just not the reality. So now I've become a lot more aware of like just being more authentic and just showing the true process of like what goes on behind the scenes, because people can't just be thinking that it's, you know, all roses and like everything always goes right and it's easy to run a business, because it is really difficult. You will get those down days, and you just need to be able to pick yourself up and just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And it really affects your mental health. Like, I think Forbes even did an article in it. I think 72% or something of entrepreneurs experience mental health issues just, you know, through running a business. And it's not normal for your mood to be up and down, and for things to always be going up and down every single day. Like, one minute you're happy, the next minute you're sad. It's just not normal. So, but I love the fact that you're just showing the true honest side behind things, because a lot of people need to see that and decide if this is what they really, really want to do. So what's the process of going from, you know, you've received an order and you're making the order, and then now it's being delivered to the customer?
Yeah, so every order is made to order. So if I receive an order, then I'll have to make it straight away. It's very rare that I have it in stock, but sometimes I do have points where business is quiet and I'll have time to pre-make whatever I can, depending on how much stock I have in terms of like materials, because when I stock up on materials, I have not a huge bulk, but I have enough to make a few just because of the make to order process. So once I receive an order, it depends if the customer, sometimes I would get requests for a longer dress or a shorter dress or one slit instead of two slits. So I write those notes down, and it can take up to 3 working days depending on if I get like an influx of orders, 3 working days to make and then 3 to 5 working days to ship. So everything is made by hand by me on my knitting machine, my overlocker and my sewing machine, and everything is hand packaged by myself as well in like biodegradable packaging. And then once everything is packaged up and printed off, I then take regular trips to the post office to send their item to get to them within 3 to 5 working days.
So let's say you had a day and you got like 50 orders. Like, imagine that just happens. I don't know, someone wears it and people go on your website and order 50. What are you going to do? Because it says on your site, well, 3 days, right? Roughly. Or maybe you tell them more and you want to surprise them. But yeah, what would you do?
I haven't even thought that far ahead. If we're honest, I think I'm just going to have to call like a bunch of friends, get my family involved to just help me out, because occasionally I do get, you know, friends and family to help me out, but I haven't reached a stage where I'm like so overwhelmed I can't do everything myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, everything I do is just on my own.
Yeah, that's cool. Just start getting ready, because you know it's gonna get a bit crazy for you. I saw on your Instagram post you mentioned 2 years ago you were crying at a pop-up store. And you just mentioned that you used to do pop-ups and stuff because you hardly made any sales. So I'd like to get into what that day looked like for you. Like, was that an I quit moment? Like, I don't know if I should be doing this. Like, the actual emotions of that.
Yeah, so in 2016, I actually started selling my chokers online. But there was only a limited amount of products I could list on my online website, because there was like an annual fee. And if I paid the annual fee, then it would cancel out my sales. So I found it quite difficult because of the limited amount of products I was able to sell on the internet. So I tried market stores in 2017, and they required interaction with the public. And because I'm an introverted person, the idea of engaging with the public to, you know, talk to them about my product was a really daunting experience for me. But it allowed me to step outside of my comfort zone, and eventually I then, you know, began to enjoy it. However, I was barely making enough money to cover the cost of my market store fee. So financially it wasn't beneficial for me. But the word was getting round, and exposure was my main aim at that point. But then obviously I knew I had to expand my range. Because of the limited amount of products, it was hard to cover the costs of market stalls and travel. And I was even having to buy, you know, decoration to like make my stall look pretty so that people would come and approach it. So yeah, that was really difficult, because I had days where I was sitting outside in like minus degrees temperatures, hoping that people would come and buy my chokers. I had one day actually where I sold about 20 chokers, and that was a really good day for me. That's and so I just good. I just couldn't believe it, because I had days where I'd sell one or I'd sell two, and I'm out there from, I think it was like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it was freezing. So yeah, it was difficult. Wow. But eventually it became quite fun.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of people would have been like, you know what, I'm over it. But you still persevered and pushed through. You still showed up and you did what you needed to do. So I think it's such a great experience as well, because you do get to meet people and meet your customers really, and really understand like who they are, what they want, why they like your brand. there's so much benefit to pop-ups, and I think people should actually experiment with that before they do anything like brick and mortar or wholesale or whatever, just so they can really understand like who their customer is.
Yeah, honestly, engaging with the customers was a huge turning point for me, mm-hmm. because then it made me realize how invested they are in the actual process, not just the product, but you as an individual, your craft, and how you got to where you are. So mm-hmm. that was a really nice experience for me.
Perfect. So looking back, is there anything that you would do differently with your brand?
No.
No? You do everything exactly the same.
I genuinely believe everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
I feel like there's magic in like divine timing.
Definitely.
I've learned from my mistakes, I've gained experience, and I've been able to grow my business like really organically through sheer hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think running a business is like a linear journey. You will have bumps in the road.
Certainly.
It's just about how you overcome them, because it really builds your character. Because initially, you know, sometimes I have days when I'm knitting and it falls off the machine, and because my yarn is so expensive, it's so frustrating. But you know, a couple of years ago, if that happened to me, I would have cried, and that would have ruined my day, because then I would have had a headache and then I wouldn't be able to get any work done. But now I'm more proactive, like I think of solutions and think of ways to try and rectify the situation instead of, you know, getting upset and having a tantrum about it.
Mm.
So yeah, things like that really build your character and just make you like an incredible problem solver.
Definitely. Whoever's listening to this, you really need to like get clued up on mental toughness and like just I always say mindset stuff, but specifically mental toughness, which is basically what Sabrina's talking about, in the sense where something bad does happen, which is completely normal, what are you going to do about it? Because being upset, it's not like you can't be upset, but you really have to put a cap on it. 5 minutes, 1 hour, one day, whatever it is, and then you have to move on and get things done, because it gets to a point where it's just ineffective now. Like, you're actually wasting time, and forgive yourself. Like, it's okay, you know, like everyone is going through things, everyone makes mistakes, or everyone's like thread or yarn drops off the machine, you know, like it's okay, you know. But I think, yeah, it's easy to kind of dwell, and then you get into this like zone of self-pity, speaking from experience, where it can lead to like depression and all that stuff. And especially with business, it's already hard enough, you know, so if you can like mentally equip yourself beforehand, that would be good.
It makes you unproductive. You just need to, and then you could be doing something that will then benefit you in the future, but instead you're, you know, worrying about something that you could have rectified within a couple of minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you made a very big and exciting investment recently, which is your studio. So what made you decide to build your own studio? Is it in your garden? Or
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
Garage.
Yeah. So obviously, like, a lot of people go down renting like a commercial unit. I rent a commercial unit. But how come you decided to just build one yourself?
There's just so many reasons. I had my knitting machine in my room, and I used to stock my yarn like all on my bookshelf, all on my carpet. And I had my sewing machine and overlocker and printer downstairs in the living room. And every time I went to go and do an order, I'd have to knit before 10 p.m. because of the neighbors. And obviously, because I was at university doing my master's, it was really difficult to get orders in, as well as going to uni and then coming back. So I'd have like a couple of hours of time to like do orders, or then I'd have to wake up really early to complete orders. And then downstairs, obviously, the family are downstairs watching TV or like socializing, and I'm there like making a racket with my overlocker and my sewing machine. So it was really difficult to find the right time to do things, and which really delayed like the whole process of making my orders efficiently. And also space was such a huge issue, because things were starting to improve over lockdown. I just needed more space. So yeah, I decided to invest and just save with the help of my parents as well, to just create a space in the back garden so that I had just better space and time to do things. So now I use it as my studio as well, because I used to rent out studio spaces to do photo shoots. So now I'm able to do that. I'm able to make my orders and have it as an office space.
Amazing.
So yeah.
That's so cool.
it's a lot more cost effective in terms of like travel and additional expenses.
That is a very good point, actually. You only think about the rent. You don't actually think about, even if you're driving, like I drive and I have to put petrol in my car and I'm like how long did it take you to complete?
It took around 5 months to get it to where it's at now, and it's not fully finished, so there's like skirting that still needs to be done, and there's mirrors that need to be installed. There's a lot more work to be done, but the foundations are there and I'm able to work in it, so
that's all that matters. As long as you can go in there and take your pictures and stuff. Cool. So if someone wanted to do that, like what kind of budget would you suggest? Because like there could be someone that's like, you know what, I can just do this in my garden. In the long term, it actually saves me a lot of money. What would you suggest they do or save?
So initially we wanted to build a brand new build, but because I think they gave us a price of 20,000 for a new brand new build, but obviously that was just like way past our budget. So we decided to build from the foundation, which was around 7,000, which is a lot more affordable. If you're running a business on your own. So yeah, so I'd save about 7,000 to 10,000, because obviously that's not including the cost of the interior and like building the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the foundation.
Okay. Are you from London? Where are you from? I don't even know where you're.
I'm from London.
London. South London?
West London.
Oh, you're not a South girl. But I was just thinking, so I was thinking about the space that you have, and like if you were to like get a studio in London, you're probably going to pay like 1 point something or 1K for that size. So, I mean, 7 to 10K. Obviously, you already started your brand, you've been saving, your parents helped you out a little bit as well, but it just makes more sense, because then you can go and spend 12K minimum somewhere else and then pay for travel and whatnot. So you, even within that first year, you've saved money from going anywhere else. And I think it's so good to have your own space, and you know, and if other people are listening and they're like, okay, I still can't do 7 grand, then like start small, because some people actually buy sheds. You can buy like a really sturdy shed and just do the inside, like paint it white and, you know, get your electricity in there and stuff. And you can literally just start with that. And then when you're ready, either move out or build something in your garden if you have a garden, or do a spare room. Like, I definitely recommend trying to stay at home for as long as possible, because the responsibility of having rent to pay, I'm an adult. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine it is really tough. Like, even living here and just being able to, you know, walk out whenever I want, it's a huge blessing, but even doing this is difficult, so I can't even imagine what it's like to have, you know, additional responsibility.
Do you ever get spiders in there?
Yeah,
the big ones.
I haven't had a big one yet, but I've had a couple of spiders and it's just not working out for me.
I would literally pass out if I saw. I'm so scared of spiders.
I get foxes in the garden as well.
Oh yeah, because foxes are everywhere these days. They're even out during the daytime.
Yeah, they're not scared at all. They're way too brave, and I get terrified walking out at like 4 a.m. in the morning to go back into the house. But yeah, it's something I have to get used to.
Yeah, for the time being. Little trick there, actually. My mum bought these, like, they're not cats. It was not an animal. It was something that looked like a cat. Like, it was in the shape of a cat, and you can kind of just pin it in your garden. And apparently foxes and cats don't really mix. So we put that in our garden to just try and see what happened. I don't know if it, I can't remember if it works, but we haven't had foxes, so worth having a thing. Yeah, just basically find out what the foxes don't like and just put that in your garden, and then it should help you. Yeah. Oh really?
I've tried everything, but I haven't heard that one, so I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, you never know, could work. And what was that experience as well, walking into the studio or your studio for the first time, when it's like painted and you've got your floor, like, or even just in the morning when you get up or whenever you start working, like, how does that actually feel?
Yeah, it's actually surreal. I still can't believe that I have my own space, because really it's like my work now, like every day, and I just feel so grateful to have it.
Yeah.
It's a real surreal experience to have my own space and like to have my clothes like on the rail. And yeah, it's crazy. It's actually crazy.
So crazy, I can imagine. So what's in the plans for Sabi Lunit?
So I'm actually looking to expand my business and become more inclusive in terms of like plus size and creating more modest clothing for more diverse range of cultures. I also need a team because doing everything on my own is like really hard work, and it's difficult to keep up with the growth of the brand. So I really do need to expand and possibly get an intern to come and help me to just expand the business and just get more ideas. I feel like when you work with more creatives, you're able to bounce off ideas and just creative ideas to create more exciting pieces and more exciting clothing.
That's exciting. I cannot wait to see. Do you have any advice so far for people that want to start a brand or specifically go into knitwear? Like, what do you wish you knew?
So I would just say, don't be afraid to start, because the way that I started was really organically, because I was just posting what I was making and people were just, you know, gravitating towards it, and I was getting a lot of positive feedback. So I wasn't reluctant to start, but most people that I speak to are worrying about how people react to their work. So that's another thing I would say, don't think too much about how people respond to your work. Just do it and then see, you know, where things take you. I would also say to never give up, because no matter how hard or tough things get, if it's something that is really important to you and it makes you happy, then you need to just follow through and just not give up. I would also say don't be a perfectionist, because it will hold you back. Making mistakes is part of the process, and there's always room for improvement and growth when you start somewhere. The amount of improvements I've made with how I make things and like the finishings of my pieces from when I started is crazy. So you will eventually grow and become, you know, what you want or initially wanted to be when you first started. And anyone looking to go into knitwear, I would just say have patience, because at times it can be a really tedious craft, but it can also be really therapeutic. And so running a business will make you an incredible problem solver. So yeah.
Definitely.
That's the advice I have for aspiring designers.
A lot of good advice right there, which everything was relevant, and I'm sure it's going to be very timely for a lot of people listening, especially just not giving up.
Yeah, if your heart is in it, I would just say to keep going, because yeah. I hate the idea of giving up. Like, even with my course, I didn't like the idea that I was giving up, because it just felt like I was quitting, but because my heart wasn't in it, it didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
And my heart was elsewhere. So if your heart is in it, then I would say don't give up.
Do you have any fashion business or self-development content books or podcasts that you can recommend?
I actually have a book called The Introvert Entrepreneur. I found that quite helpful because I was always under the impression that an entrepreneur needed to be like the loudest one in the room or needed to be able to talk and interact with. Obviously, you need to be able to talk and interact with people, but you don't need to be the loudest one in the room. You don't need to be extroverted in order to run a successful business. So that really helped me in terms of coming to terms with embracing the fact that I'm an introverted person and being a successful businesswoman as that person. So I would highly recommend that if you are an introvert. And also Persuasion. I think it's really a really good book to help you think about ways of interacting with people. So like if you do talks or interviews, or if you have like a business meeting with people, if you have scheduled a photo shoot to have with like makeup artists, stylists, photographers, or if you need to liaise with someone who is holding space that you need to book or photo shoot, just things like that. It just prepares you for that whole journey of being able to work alongside other creatives to, you know, expand on your brand.
Definitely. I'm going to check them both out, especially the introvert one, because I just like to be alone. I can talk when I need to, but it's nice when you're just like in your zone and you're just doing your thing. Yeah. But I can definitely have a good chit chat, you know. But thank you. Really good recommendations. Where can our audience find you?
So my @ is SabiLuKnit. So you can find me there on Instagram and Twitter and even Facebook.
Cool. And your website? Although I'm going to put it in the description box as well.
Yes, it is www.sabiLuKnit.com.
I'm going to link everything in the description, guys, so you can just click on it and it'll take you straight there. But thank you so much for your time, Serena. This has been amazing. I've loved getting to know you and your story.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you're inspired to take action on your dreams right away. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This really helps us expand our show and reach more people just like you. Until next time, keep striving and thriving.